faith-filled finance. All major UK bank accounts. One app. Provision is built by Christians to help you steward what God's given you. Track your spending, saving and giving in one place. Join the waitlist now at provision.money and get your first month free. That's provision.money.
The Leadership File on Premier.
Welcome to the Leadership File with conversations I hope will help change the way you lead and be inspired to lead better. I'm Andy Peck. Back in 1989, I attended a conference on student ministry where a Malaysian speaker, Goh Kiat Peng, said something I've never forgotten. He was talking about the problem of divorcing personal life and ministry life. He said, "Make no mistake, your personal life is your ministry life." In other words, if we don't walk with God in our personal life, we don't have a ministry, or at least we don't have one that will be of much benefit to anyone else. Well, to talk about the challenges of growing personally as a leader, I'm joined this week by the Reverend Andrew Whitman. Andrew served as a pastor in three growing churches in Cambridgeshire, Norfolk and Bournemouth. He also served as a lecturer in theology at Moorland College and has had a wider ministry in the UK and overseas, notably Bangalore, India. He's currently freelance involving teaching, mentoring and lecturing in Bournemouth and wider afield. So welcome, Andrew, to the Leadership File.
Thanks, Andy. Good. Nice to chat with you.
Well, lovely to chat. Many leaders can point to moments in their life when the challenge of staying refreshed personally alongside ministry was especially real. Is that something you can do?
That's definitely a consistent thing throughout about 30 years of ministry. Yeah, one particular occasion was in 1990. I'd been pastoring in Godmanchester in Cambridgeshire for about 5 years, and had a nasty bout of burnout that was really quite serious. So that was very, very formative as a young pastor. So, and actually, posed some issues that needed some digging into, really.
Right. Well, we could maybe revisit that. But thanks for being honest about it.
No.
Your journey into Christian service, first of all?
Well, I was saved in August 1973, which sounds quite a long time ago, through Jesus People movement here in the UK, in London, actually. I guess in terms of ministry, actually, that was very, very formative. I'm one of those strange bods that kind of locates the call to ministry as being pretty much parallel to conversion, really, so very much concurrent.
Splendid, that's great. And were you a Londoner growing up in
London?
Yeah,
I'm a North Londoner, a passionate gooner, which may bless some people and not others.
Okay, for those listening, a gooner means he supports Arsenal Football Club.
indeed.
I hinted at the importance of this topic in my introduction, Andrew.
Yeah.
Personal life and developing
a
personal life. Can you outline how you regard the importance yourself?
I actually think that the link between personal life and ministry life is absolutely crucial. In one sense, I cannot help but be the person by grace that God has made me to be, and actually minister out of that. But I've also known times and seasons where I've been running perilously near to empty in terms of the fuel tank. So I've known both. But I think the more I've gone on after kind of 40 years of both parachurch and church-based ministry, the whole issue of actually having your tank full spiritually, emotionally, mentally is actually quite crucial. I guess the flip side too is I do also believe in boundaries, and that there are times to protect your own personal individual life and your family life. So I'm very well aware of that too. But definitely I do believe foundationally that we cannot give out to others in God if we haven't got anything there to give, without stating the painfully obvious.
Well, yes, you say it's the obvious, but sadly, people can put on a show. They can craft a sermon from books, you know.
Yeah,
sound erudite.
I know. I mean, one of my key verses, really, Andy, is 1 Timothy 4 about watch your life and doctrine closely. You know, and it's not just watching your doctrine, which is vitally important too, but, you know, what good old C.H. Spurgeon, that great Baptist leader of previous generation, used to quaintly call the minister's self-watch, which I think is actually a phrase that we need to kind of resurrect.
No, absolutely. It's a lovely, very precious,
precious
concept. Yeah,
indeed.
Yeah. Now, we're going to have to get into a little bit of theology,
which we don't
apologise for at one level,
no.
but I don't we don't want to lose people too much. But I mean, the talk of personal life is underpinned by our theology of sanctification and the work of God's Spirit. So, talk me through the kind of framework you use when you're when you're thinking about these things.
Yep, I have a number of sort of issues that are really important to me. I mean, the first and probably the primary is my Pauline understanding of sanctification is simply that position leads to experience, i.e., that if we're sure of our God-given identity through the gospel by grace in Jesus, that actually the Christian life is working out from that, not working towards that. So in other words, without being too overly wordy or complex here, when Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 1, he describes them as saints and then proceeds to describe in the rest of the epistle what it means to live as a saint. But it's quite clearly stated up front that these believers in Ephesus are set apart to God through the gospel, that they are literally holy ones who are in the process of being made holy and will be made completely holy at the end of this present age. So that to me is a pretty important biblical concept and biblical take. I mean, it comes out in courses like Freedom in Christ, but I haven't just nicked it from other people. It's just my own deep understanding of Pauline theology there.
Sure, and that, of course, can feed into things like burnout and stress when perhaps we forget who we are in Christ. We try
absolutely.
maybe subtly,
yes.
You know, we end up working out our salvation. Well, working for our salvation, shall we say?
Yes, again, Philippians 2:12-13 is absolutely formative. I mean, you know, we work out our salvation because we know that God's at work in us to will and do His good pleasure. And if you haven't got the second part of the verse, you're pretty stuffed. Mm.
And to quote Spurgeon again, of course, was it he said, you know, don't become a preacher in order to save your soul.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you've heard that one, but
that's a good one. I mean, I have to add to all this too. You know, I'm a strong believer too in active cooperation with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not a kind of passive thing, but it's neither is it a falsely active thing where we just become driven and, you know, there's that subtle kind of blend of cooperation with the Holy Spirit in what He wants to do in making us more Christ-like. And actually, I think, bizarrely, we can't always see that kind of growing Christ-likeness and sometimes get a pleasant shock when other people maybe from time to time would comment on our kind of lifestyle and actually commend us for a degree of godliness and Christ-likeness.
Mm-hmm. No, it is wonderful.
Yeah.
A mysterious work, shall we say.
Indeed.
So let's get a little bit more practical.
Yeah, of course.
Andrew, do you think there might be what we call best practice when it comes to staying refreshed as a leader, or does what is best actually vary from person to person?
I think that's an incredibly good, important question. I have to say, honestly, it's a classic yes and no answer there, really. Yeah. I mean, yes, in the sense that there are basic ground rules. I mean, can people stay refreshed as leaders on the long term without scripture, without a good dose of scripture? I don't think so. You know, that pertains to everybody, however they actually take that scripture in. I mean, you know, I have my own preferred methods, but some people like podcasts and hearing scripture read by other people, etc. But scripture has to be key. Friendships have to be key for all of us. But I'm actually very well aware, after kind of 42 years on the Christian road, that one of the secrets to growing and to keeping fresh is quite simply just knowing yourself to some extent. Basically, I mean, just give one sort of fairly simple example here. My dear wife Rosie, who we've been married for nearly 36 years now, she has this incredible habit of praying within herself, i.e. she doesn't verbalize her prayers in general terms, in terms of her own walk with God. Now, I honestly, Andy, I can't do that with the best will in the world. If you said to me, do that thing, I'd try, but I'd find it really, really tricky, because I almost have to verbalize and vocalize my praying. So, you know, does one pray and the other not? Not at all. It's just a kind of difference of temperament, spirituality.
And that's okay. I suppose. What you're saying is, yeah, you don't need to feel intimidated by Rosie.
No, not at all.
And she doesn't need to feel intimidated by the things that you perhaps find easier.
Yeah, I mean, I have been very influenced by, I think the guy's name is Gary Chapman, who wrote the book Sacred Pathways, which is kind of evangelical approach to spirituality, and just helpfully outlines, you know, both biblically and tangibly, just different paths of spirituality that are quite biblical, but also, you know, might well differ from person to person. So, you know, I'm really, really keen to not say one size fits all. And actually, of course, as a leader, you know, to actually give people healthy permission to be the people that they actually are in God is quite important, i.e. not to stereotype them in terms of some kind of particular brand of spirituality that is yours or mine as the preacher. You know, I'm pretty conscious of that and try to recognize that.
Well, you're listening to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by the Reverend Andrew Whitman. We're talking particularly about growing personally as a leader. We'll be back just after this. Welcome back to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by the Reverend Andrew Whitman. Andrew served as a pastor in three growing churches in Cambridgeshire, Norfolk and Bournemouth. He also served as a lecturer in theology at Moorlands, has a wider ministry in the UK and overseas, notably in Bangalore, India. He's now freelance, involving teaching, mentoring and lecturing in Bournemouth and wider afield. We're talking about growing personally as a leader. So, Andrew, we've talked a little bit about the theology of growing, etc., and a little bit of the best practice. You personally, what some people talk about spiritual disciplines, i.e. the activities that are done in God's name in order for us to grow personally.
Yeah.
Any particular that you find helpful?
Yeah, I mean, there are several, but probably a whole program's worth, Andy.
Sure.
I think for me, you know, again, it sounds slightly simple to say this, but nonetheless, I don't think it's always practiced. I'm a very, very keen believer on Bible meditation rather than necessarily just study, which I also do too, but meditation to me, chewing over scripture, mulling it over, praying it through, just seeking to, as Ezekiel was actually told, to eat the scroll, you know, that to me is really, really good news, because it just soaks scripture and gets it right inside you. I was brought up on a farm in the far reaches of North London, and I'm very well used to seeing the 120 herd of Frisian cows just chewing the grass slowly but surely and actually imbibing it. So Bible meditation is key for me. Taking communion is key. Fasting is also quite important too. So there are various disciplines that I do practice. I have to say I'm not I'm not especially disciplined as a person, so sometimes these things happen slightly on the hoof, although I am intentional nonetheless.
I mean, perhaps I shouldn't ask this, but I have a feeling that you did a long fast at one point. I'm just wondering.
didn't Jesus say you're not supposed to talk about that kind of stuff?
Well, bless you. I'm blowing a trumpet rather than you. But when you go for a much longer fast, and we're talking longer than a few days, aren't we? How did you find that? Did you build up to it or?
Oh wow! I probably started off doing this kind of thing very very rarely, but. Probably started off quite naively. I mean, what I would say about a long fast of any description is probably wisest to consult your GP first, and just be aware that actually after, depending on the length of fast, probably around about 7 or 8 days, you have some very very funny things going on within your body. And certainly when you come to breaking the fast, be absolutely very, very careful indeed that you just take very, very gentle stuff like soup or something very, very easy on the digestive system. Actually, I'm speaking through hard experience here because slightly naively, the first time I did a longer fast, I actually ate a fairly full-blown meal and was up all night that particular night. So read around, be aware of some of the physical dynamics. But nonetheless, for me personally, I do believe that fasting has brought a measure of breakthrough in different areas. But it's categorically not either a means of twisting God's arm, because I don't believe in that kind of theology either. So,
well, I mean, that brings on to my next question, really, and that is, you know, how do you encourage and practice the spiritual disciplines without slipping into legalism, you know, and feeling... I mean, you graciously refuse... I happen to know through someone else that you did a long fast, but, you know, you didn't mention it. But, you know, but that's... which is credit to you. But, it can be... You can actually get to the point of, oh, I've done X amount and other people don't, you know, and isn't God pleased with me?
I mean, there are a number of ways of kind of responding to that, Andy. I'd certainly say that it's healthy to ask from time to time, why am I doing this? And to be frank and vulnerable, because I'm in fairly vulnerable mode just in the present season, really, there have been occasions, rarely, where I've done a fast and actually just given it up because I just kind of think this was just purely humanly engineered. So let's just forget it. Let's just ditch it for right now, because I didn't start with the right motivation. Now that's fairly rare, but I'm just being honest there. So ask why from time to time. Obviously, grace is the positive antidote to legalism. Let's not just camp on legalism. Let's see what the biblical antidote to legalism is. And a rightful understanding of grace, which is obviously a bit of a kind of potentially slippery subject sometimes, but a healthy sense. And actually, in 2014, which we may talk about just a bit later too, I had a sabbatical for 3 months, and actually I just studied the book of Hebrews during the whole of that time. And the whole theme of Sabbath rest really just hit my heart, just actually that we live in the rest of God's grace, but actually that's not fruitless, that's not passivity, but actually we live out of the good of the rest of God's grace in the gospel. Some of those kind of key themes help me to avoid... being legalistic. Having said that, from time to time, I think we're all prone to perhaps slipping into legalism, just in particular specific areas. So I don't think the battle against legalism is ever over, but just to be gently, carefully self-watchful, really.
And you mentioned sabbatical. I was going to ask you, are you a fan of the concept? I hadn't realised you'd had a 3 month period yourself.
Yeah, indeed, it was a very, very profound period actually. I was just thinking the other day, I think I've had 3 full-blown sabbaticals in 30 years of local church leadership. And the last one was 2014 for 3 months between June and August, where I was serving happily with Bournemouth Community Church as equipping pastor. That was a very, very great experience, although some unexpected twists and turns during it. I mean, one of the key things just to mention there is sometimes, I don't want to be prescriptive here, but sometimes I feel that some of my friends in ministry who take sabbaticals can sometimes do them for a very, very intentional strategic purpose. Now, I don't think that's necessarily wrong, but on this particular occasion, I just said to myself and to my fellow leaders, I just want to mull through the book of Hebrews for my own spiritual benefit, for no reason not to write a book, not to do anything other than just imbibing Hebrews and the glory of Christ through that particular epistle, which I did.
Wonderful. And yeah. You went for 3 months. I've heard of some do 6 months.
Yeah, no. Three was enough. And honestly, Andy, it wasn't merely kind of quote unquote spiritual. I mean, one of the practices I began at that particular time, and I've carried it on since, apart from just a bout of illness, was swimming 3 times a week, because I'm slight little couch potato sometimes, and I just felt that God was nudging me to actually say, you need to address this issue of your own bodily health just a little bit more, and I'm all the better for it. You know, there's more stamina, more staying power, and I just really enjoy it, and also get to meet some interesting non-Christians in the kind of sauna come steam room.
Splendid. No, absolutely. Now, when you lectured at Moorlands, which I understand you lectured up until about 2015.
That's right.
You were involved helping first-year students with their preaching.
Yeah, indeed.
And, of course, you know, for many church leaders, you know, preaching is an area where your personal life can come to the fore, or can be left very quiet. As I said earlier,
absolutely,
it is possible to do a very erudite talk and not share anything of your life. Yeah. So share a little bit about preaching and being personally refreshed.
Okay. Just one interesting reflection to what you just said there. Actually, I used to ask my first years on a regular annual basis. I used to say to them, look, this is not scientific. I just want to ask you a very simple question, give a simple, honest response. On balance, how many of the preachers that you have heard in the past have been too vulnerable about themselves, and how many have been too little vulnerable just concerning themselves? And almost 100% each time, you've guessed it, they actually said, we don't hear a lot of vulnerability. That has deeply impacted me, Andy.
Well,
You know, because, you know, goodness knows where that actually comes from. And, you know, but nonetheless, I think if that's anywhere near indicating things, it indicates that we just need to be much more real and authentic. Not to be kind of gut spilling, or not to be unduly autobiographical, but nonetheless, you know, just to share heart and life and what we're learning in the course of preaching. So, sorry, there's a slight diversion, but
no, it's helpful.
But I think in terms of freshness, you know, that would be quite key for me.
Briefly, as we close, Andrew, you hinted at your wider ministry, the kind of things you get up to.
Well, it's quite a kind of juggling balls thing. I mean, my main role is a 2-day week role with my excellent church, which is a kind of New Frontiers Commission church called God First in Christchurch. Quite an interesting name of church to live up to. And I actually head up small groups there, which we call Connect Groups. I still teach in Moorlands to external bases and mentor some people, including two African, black African pastors who pastor locally, which is great fun. And I do a whole host of other things as well. I do some freelance ministry with a group called Living Leadership with my good friend Marcus Honeysett. So there are lots and lots of strands, which is exciting, slightly challenging in terms of remaining organized personally, but fun.
Wonderful. Well, Andrew, you've shared so much, and we are really indebted to you. Your kindness and vulnerability yourself in sharing some of the ups and downs and challenges. So, you know, if you're listening and, you need to give attention to your personal life, then please do it as soon as you can, because it's vital to the people that you serve. So my thanks to you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. Do join us again next 3:30 for the Leadership File.
You've been listening to The Leadership File on Premier. Andy Peck serves as a tutor at CWR, a Christian charity whose courses and publications aim to apply God's Word to everyday life. Contact him via email apeck@cwr.org.uk.